And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. Hope everything is going well for all of you, for you, your family members, your friends, the people around you. We here at American Family Radio have been blessed. Nobody on the staff has contracted the virus, although there are reports that relatives, people that folks know, in some cases, but there have been some people reporting that family members or friends or people that they know have contracted the virus. We're learning more and more about this thing day by day, and some of it, of course, is not necessarily accurate. There's even some question I raised this yesterday, some question about whether the tests are accurate. In other words, whether every positive test really is indeed measuring a positive, and whether every negative test is indeed measuring a negative. That's not a good situation either. So we've got some work here to do in terms of getting the science fully engaged and accurate. I know we are criticized, we Christians are criticized sometimes with denying science. And as I said, I think in an earlier program a couple of days ago, we don't deny science. It's just that we have the ability to question science and question the conclusions that people reach as a result of what they say are the scientific facts or is the scientific data. But we also respect facts and information and truth. We just want to make sure that that's what we're getting. But we also believe there's a higher law even than the law of science, and that is the law of God. So when we are making decisions about our own lives and our own circumstances and situation, we always have God in mind because He is supreme and His power overrides everything else. And I've heard people say, you have to be aware of the fact that not everybody has that kind of faith and not everybody believes that as you believe. And I am keenly aware of that, all too keenly aware of that. So I don't expect everybody to take that same approach. But for those of us who do have faith, we should not be caught up in the fear. We should not be caught up in the hype. We should not be caught up in the hysteria that seems to, in many ways, have just enveloped the entire country is really in a way suffocating the entire country. In fact, it is not that the economy itself is being shut down only. And by the way, did you all see the reports, the new job reports, 6.6 plus million people filing jobless claims now. That's nearly 7 million people in a matter of about a month. Folks, that is absolutely staggering. It really is. And here again, I will, as long as we are in this, I will continue to raise the question whether we are taking the approach, whether these medical and media pundits are taking the appropriate approach instead of scaring the daylights out of everybody and speculating about what the ultimate effects will be, just dealing with the situation at hand. The governor of Mississippi, by the way, where we have many radio stations, many of our listeners are in and around Mississippi. The governor of Mississippi, I believe, has taken a very, very wise approach, at least as of yesterday. What I read was that he had issued a stay-at-home order for a particular county where there are a number of cases. And I think, folks, that's the approach we're going to have to somehow ratchet back to. Otherwise, right now, the reports I'm reading say that about 90% of the country is locked down. And those people who can work from home, of course, they're in pretty good shape, assuming that their businesses don't falter and end up having to close. But for the people who have to go to work in order to do their jobs, they're out of work. For smaller, more marginal businesses, they may be out of business forever. So that's, again, something that we've got to take into full consideration as well. I shudder to think what the job reports are going to be like a month from now, if we're already at nearly 7 million people out of work. And so, yeah, that's got to be looked at as well, folks. I mean, that's not a small matter. It's not an unimportant matter. We certainly don't want to put ourselves in a position where we end up collapsing our economy or setting ourselves back for who knows how long. And we've got to try to climb out of that. So we've got to be looking for ways to deal with this that minimize the economic impact while maximizing our ability to slow the spread of this thing. And, of course, to develop a vaccine and to do testing, accurate testing, to see who's got it and who doesn't, and to be able to respond in a very, very intelligent and strategic and tactical and focused and specific way, so that we're not shutting down the entire economy. But, you know, we've gone even beyond that. In many ways, we've shut down the society. Think about that. We're kind of shutting down the society. Because there's absolutely no entertainment now. You know, nobody can go out to go anywhere. I mean, if you go out, you've got to go to, just out for a walk or something, because you're certainly not going to go to a theater. You're not going to go to a cafe. You're not going to go to a restaurant. You're not going to go to the movies. You're not going to go anywhere like that, because those things are completely shut down. So in many ways, we've not just shut down business and the economy, we kind of shut down the society. And I understand, look, this is a serious situation, and I am not in any way minimizing its seriousness. I've said from the very beginning, of course it's serious, but I think there are options for the ways in which we deal with it. And we've got to make sure we explore all the options and look at any options that we have that make it possible for people to continue to function in a reasonable way. And keep the economy going. And some people just say we just need to shut it down completely for about a month. But folks, you shut down the economy for a month, and there's a lot of stuff that's simply not coming back, because people, they just don't have the ability to come back from that. Because a lot of businesses are marginal, a lot of people's economic situations are marginal. It's going to be a long, and assuming you do that, assuming then that solves the problem, we don't know that. We don't know that. I mean, we would hope it would if it were to come to that, but we really don't know. So we've got to measure the economic cataclysmic impact of this against the dangers of the virus itself. I don't know whether you all caught Fox today, but Governor Andrew Cuomo was on with his brother Chris Cuomo, and he said he is having fever, but he didn't seem to be having any difficulties breathing. He said he felt a little tired, a little lethargic, but his brother pointed out, you know, you sound fine, you look good. He said, yeah, well, I'm not able to get a haircut. Okay, well, that's a small problem. But here again, we've also got to figure out why some people are unaffected by this and exactly who those people are that are deeply and profoundly affected by it, that end up clogging up our healthcare system, needing treatment for their breathing problems and whatnot, because I think the more specific we can get about that, the more easily we can target resources to the people who are most likely to be profoundly affected and need the kind of help that our hospitals and medical facilities have to provide. So I think the president is doing a brilliant job at the federal level trying to direct all of this. But I think some of these governors and some of these mayors, I think, are stoking fear and not responding in the most, shall we say, intelligent way possible. If fear is driving our reaction, then we're going to almost always make a lot of mistakes. But if information and truth and a full analysis of the impact is what's driving us, I think we'll make balanced decisions that will leave us in good stead when it's all over. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
As we all know, the virus crisis has created a financial crisis. Companies and businesses cannot survive for long when they're closed down, but the greater crisis is what could be called a paycheck crisis. People who live paycheck to paycheck cannot go very long without dire economic consequences. One survey last year by Bankrate confirmed what previous surveys originally discovered. A majority of Americans are economically vulnerable. Their survey found that only 40% of Americans would be able to pay for an unexpected $1,000 expense from savings. That expense would be an emergency room visit or even a car repair. The percent confirmed previous surveys from 2014 through 2018. What about the remaining 60%? More than a third would need to borrow money in some way. That could be either through their credit card or perhaps through a personal loan from a family or friends. Another 14% would reduce spending on other things, while 10% really didn't know what they would do. The current economic downturn may cause many of us to rethink our priorities. What Americans used to consider luxuries are now considered necessities. Most Americans own a smartphone. That same portion of households own at least one high-definition flat-screen television. A majority of Americans dine out at least once a week. A significant percentage of American families dine out three or more times a week. So changing habits may be a possible short-term solution, but most Americans are already hitting a financial wall. They may welcome the government check of $1,200 being promised, but what they really need is a job and a steady paycheck. The virus crisis is making it very difficult for more and more Americans to pay their bills. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
Maybe you can relate to this. A lot of people think they're stuck with their health plan. It costs too much, or for whatever reason, they just don't like it. But great news, you are not stuck with it. There is a choice. It's called MediShare, and you could save so much. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Major difference maker. This is the affordable alternative to health insurance. And just to give you a little more info about MediShare, it's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. It's worked beautifully for 26 years, has more than 400,000 members, and they've shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills. So yes, they can help share your needs too. So you're not stuck. There's an excellent alternative. Whether you're single or married, you got a family, MediShare is super flexible. You can choose an option that works for you and start saving lots of money. You can join anytime. They're great to talk to. No pressure. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Folks, according to the Department of Labor, in the past 2 weeks, 10 million people have filed for unemployment. In the past 2 weeks, 10 million. Now, the number of jobless claims for last week was, and I don't know whether they're combining the prior 3.3 and then adding an additional of a 3.3, but the number now of claims being reported is 6.6 million. But according to the Department of Labor, the number's actually higher than that, and they're reporting 10 million jobless claims in the last 2 weeks. Now, you know, we're hearing all kinds of figures bandied about, and I don't know which are entirely accurate, but even whether you take the lower figure of 6.6 million, or you take the higher figure of 10 million, those are some very, very disturbing numbers. There's no question about that. And folks, I don't mean to sound in any way like I don't take this coronavirus situation, or as I prefer to call it, the communist Chinese Wuhan virus situation seriously. But I'll tell you something. I frankly am more alarmed by the economic numbers than I am by this virus. And I know people say, yeah, but you can die from the virus. Well, that is true. And obviously that's something that we do have to take very seriously, but we do have a better understanding now of the virus. I mean, we understand who it affects the most. For the most part, there are exceptions, but we understand that. In fact, there's even people are even saying that this treatment that was at one point sort of being debunked, this hydroxychloroquine, is actually working, that it's actually effective. At least that's a report that is that's coming out from many different sources. So hydroxychloroquine is apparently a good treatment. And, of course, in the meantime, they're working on the vaccine and working on other treatments and trying to get ventilators made. And, of course, there's a little bit of a difficulty with that for some reason. This is what happens when your manufacturing ends up going overseas. And then when you need to manufacture things at a moment's notice, you don't have the infrastructure to do so, which, again, the president has said we need to bring manufacturing back to our country. And I think that is being proved in big, bright, bold, red letters. We need to be able to manufacture right here in the United States of America, that it's a national security issue, which nobody before President Trump had ever brought up. But he began to bring it up with the steel industry. So God bless him for that. The other thing, the piece of good news in addition to this hydroxychloroquine. I can pronounce it if I'm looking at it. If I'm not looking at it, it's a little bit of a tongue twister. Hydroxychloroquine. But the other good news is that the president has issued a warning to cities and states that have shut down gun ranges and gun stores. And he has declared that those are essential services. Why? Because they support the Second Amendment, and that the government will take action. The Attorney General's office will take action. The Justice Department will act against any mayor or governor who tries to shut down gun stores and gun ranges. So that's also a good thing, because the Second Amendment needs to be protected, but all of our constitutional rights need to be protected, folks. In fact, I've got an article coming out, and you'll be able to read it probably on Stand here at AFR, and you'll be able to read it maybe in some other places as well. I've got a piece coming out on called The Constitution versus COVID-19, pointing out what I think are some issues that at the very least need to be debated, at the very least need to be discussed, because as you all know, there's some strange things happening. I got an email last night from a person here in my area of the country, in fact, in the same city where my church exists, telling me that the police showed up at their church for their prayer meeting last night and basically told they were under orders to break up the prayer meeting and that they should not try to meet again. Now, I don't know whether they had more than 10 people. Maybe they did, whether they were practicing social distancing or not. But they were told not to have such services again. But I see, I guess because people are interpreting now what the lockdown means, because the lockdown here in Virginia, the governor says you can go to a place of worship. Now, how that's being interpreted by people, whether that means Sunday morning, whether that means a Wednesday night Bible study, or it means all of the above, I don't know. But the pastor said to the officers, look, we are worshiping under the First Amendment of the Constitution that gives us the right to freedom of religion, but also the right to freely assemble. And, you know, we're doing the things we need to do. And apparently the police officers told him, we've been told that what the governor says is law. Now, you can process that. What the governor says is law. But, folks, that's just not true. What a governor says is not law. Law is passed by a legislature, and that legislature votes because they're representatives of the people. And then the governor gets to sign that legislation or veto that legislation, but he doesn't get to stand up and make a declaration, and suddenly his declaration is law. That happens in monarchies. That happens in dictatorships. That does not happen in the United States of America, where you have representative government. So you've got to have more than that as your backup. But the police are just trying to do their job. God bless them. I mean, and I know it's got to be difficult, but getting these orders, telling police officers, instead of going out there catching bad guys, go break up church meetings. Folks, I'm sorry. I just don't see it. I just don't see that this demands all of that. And even if we were as a society to come to the consensus conclusion that, yeah, okay, churches shouldn't meet right now. I don't agree with that. But even let's just say we came to that conclusion as a consensus. I was overwhelmingly outvoted on this, and everybody said that's the way it ought to be. Yeah, but we have something in the 14th Amendment called due process of law, which says that you cannot deprive people of liberty without due process of law, which means it can't be the case that that happens simply because somebody says so. You got to go through a process. You got to pass legislation. So we don't have time for that. Well, yes, we do. It's an emergency. We have time for it. If that's what it takes, we have time for it. Because what else is happening? Everybody's consumed with this. So don't tell me we can't do that. We can't follow the Constitution because it's too dire an emergency. Folks, that's how liberty is lost when people start making that argument. Oh, we can't do that because we don't have time. We don't have the ability. Look, Adam Schiff is starting an investigation of the President of the United States for his handling of COVID-19 because he has declared that the president is not fit to lead the country during a pandemic. So they're at it again. They've got time to harass the President of the United States and to play politics with this thing and to run around acting like complete idiots and nutcases when the president at more than any time ought to be free and left alone to try to do his job to the very best of his ability, not suffer the distractions of being attacked for the job that he's trying to do. Because you can't get him out of office. You already tried that. So why don't you help the man, support the man, encourage the man, pray for the man, or say, look, there's some things I don't agree with, but we'll deal with those after we get through this crisis. Oh, no. They have time for that. So don't tell me we don't have time to go through the appropriate legal process of giving additional powers to anyone who we think needs it in order to carry out their duties in this crisis. But I'm sorry. For me, as a lover of the Constitution, you don't just tell me because you happen to be an elected official. You can stand up and say it, and that makes it law. No, sorry about that. That's not the case. And in my article, I get into a little bit of that because our governor here in Virginia cited a couple of authorities which don't really match up with what he's doing. But at any rate, but there's some good news. The president's taking action to make sure that the Second Amendment rights of the people are protected during this crisis. We've got this treatment, hydroxychloroquine. I'll get it eventually. Hydroxychloroquine that is now available and seems to be working. I think some good things that I think will come out of this. I think there's some potential for some bad things too. But the good thing that will come out of this is I think we will take a hard look at making sure that we are not relying on China for any of our national security essentials, medicine, weaponry, ventilators, whatever it might be. That China is not in our supply chain, because we're finding out, folks, that's a very dangerous position to be in. And in the midst of all this, the virus has come from China, and then we're depending upon China for medicines to treat it, depending upon China to make ventilators for us. Now, there's something very, very wrong with that picture. So, look, the number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Still want to hear from you all. We've had some great, great programs because of your involvement, telling us what's going on in your business, your community, your family, your personal life, in terms of how this virus has affected you. And I still want to hear from you all because some of the most interesting things, frankly, that get said on the program get said by our callers. And we are really grateful for you all and your participation. There's still obviously some outstanding issues that I think raise some very, very serious questions when we've got the police turned against the citizenry and going in and trying to break up church services and all that. I mean, there's something wrong. And I don't know whether any of you caught Matt Staver. Matt Staver is a friend of mine, and he represents Reverend Rodney Howard Brown, who was arrested after having services on last Sunday. And I didn't catch the program, but apparently Matt Staver was on to talk about exactly what happened. And apparently, as I said yesterday, Pastor Rodney Howard Brown went through expensive and extensive efforts to make sure that he was creating a safe environment in the midst of this and would be able to continue with their church services. But didn't work out that way. Back in a moment.
It's my turn. Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
I did something recently which I didn't want to do, but should have done a long time ago. All of us have a nature to put off something which we should do, delay it, wait until the very last moment to get it done. For me, it was a visit to the dentist to have a tooth filled. I should have gone a long time ago. Fact about the business is that my tooth had had a cavity for a long, long time, and it was continually getting worse. And over that time, I had consistently put off doing something I should have done. But finally, I gathered enough courage and time to get the dentist to check it out. I went to the dentist expecting full well that the tooth would be pulled, that I had waited too long to have any hopes and certainly any right to expect the dentist to save my tooth. But the dentist checked it out, found the roots in good condition and the nerves alive, and proceeded to fill that tooth and save it. I must confess that it was somewhat painful to have that tooth renewed. The nerves were very much alive, and several times I felt the grind of the drill on the nerve. Several times I tensed my muscles while the dentist was removing the decay. After that visit, it suddenly dawned on me that I had experienced a great theological truth. One of the finest sermons ever preached to me had been preached by the dentist, but he never knew it. Shall I share that theological truth with you? I put off doing what I should have done long ago. This is human nature. How many of us should have made a visit to our Maker's presence long ago, only to put it off? When I finally did go, it was out of the sense of desperation. And isn't this too human nature? We put off any dealings with our Father till our life is about spent and we feel the situation is desperate. And when I did go, I felt the tooth was too far gone. I had no hopes of saving it. Again, many who come to the Father consider their lives too rotten, too far gone to cleanse and save. It hurt getting all the old decayed portion removed. This too is the way it is with life. It hurts to admit all our sins, to see ourselves as we really are. It hurts to confess our mistakes, to say we were wrong. The pain of the drill was necessary. So is the pain of confession. Perhaps the most important part is that I came away with a new tooth. And after the pain and hurt is over, our Father gives us a new lease on life. We can come away with the decay of sin gone and a clean life in front of us. I guess many of us are with the Father like I was with the dentist. We've put it off too long already. If you're listening and there's still life in your roots, there's still movement in your soul, then there is still hope. Better not wait any longer to make that visit.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Well, folks, you do the math. We have 329.5 million people in the United States of America, around that off to 330 million. We've got 216,722 coronavirus cases as of the last report that I've seen. It may be a little bit higher than that now, but that's pretty close to being in the ballpark. And about 5,137 deaths. And folks, that is still a very, very, very small percentage of the American people that have got it based upon testing. Now, there may be more who have it that we haven't gotten to testing. But the deaths we can measure very, very accurately. And that death rate, as tragic as every death is, that death rate is a very, very, very small percentage of the American population. So these predictions of 2.2 million deaths and all this, I think, are just completely out of order and completely out of whack and irresponsible and do nothing but stoke hysteria and panic and overreaction. And I think that's why we've got 6.6 to 10 million people out of work right now. I mean, think about that. 216,722 people we have diagnosed, but we've got maybe as high, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, as 10 million people out of work. And so we better keep our eyes on both of those balls. I haven't even talked about the Constitution yet, but I'm going to get to that in a moment. But I want to get to your calls right now. The number is 888-589-8840. You all, please let me know what you're doing, how you're doing, how your family's doing, how your community's doing. So let's go to Mary in Tennessee. Mary, welcome.
This is Mary. I wanted to call and tell you about I've been about to have my head explode. These here dim, people over there starting to carry on about Trump not doing nothing. Who is it that ain't doing nothing? They come in when they want to. They go out when they want to. They work if they want to. And they still get paid. And that just boils my brain. So anyway, I'm 88 years old, and I can still remember a lot of stuff that went on during the war.
Mm-hmm.
When I was growing up, we went through the Depression, then we went through the war, and I can remember a lot about it. So if you was wanting to get any information, I can give it to you.
Well, Mary, listen, I first of all, you're 88 years old. Are you doing okay? Are you fine?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. I had a heart attack two years this month, and then they put 6 stents in me. So I'm surviving. Okay.
Well, Mary, we're going to pray for you because you are the person who we know is the most vulnerable because of your medical history and your age. So, Mary, you stay safe, you stay isolated, and you just be well, okay? And thank you so much, Mary, for listening, and thank you for your call. God bless you. Let's go to our next caller. We've got Jim in South Carolina. Jim, welcome.
Hi, good evening, Bishop Jackson. It's good talking with you.
Thank you, Jim. Great to talk to you.
Just want to let you know, I discovered your program just a few short months ago, and I can't believe there's anybody in the world that I agree with so much more than you. So God bless you for your service and for your program.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you. Well, you know, for some people, you know, you just joined the ranks of crazy because that's what the left often says about us. So, but God bless you. I'm glad to have you in the room with me.
Well, I have a couple of facts here, and then I'd like to get your take on my thoughts on this.
Sure.
China is running out of room. China is looking for new areas to expand to. We know that the virus started in China. We get many of our meds from China.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here are some of the things that I agree with you so much on. Any death in any country is bad, even if it's one. It's bad. But we know that these things happen. It's a part of the process of living. And we can do one of two things. We can die in America as a percentage from this virus, or we can have a total shutdown of our economy. So which is worse? So now, with that being said, do you think this is possibly a test to see how we will react in our area from the Chinese people?
Well, look, Jim, I don't know whether it was started that way, whether it was created for that purpose, but I would say this: I have no doubt whatsoever that they are taking the metrics of how we're dealing with it, that they are watching us very, very closely and taking the measure of what kind of country we are. How do we deal with a crisis? What happens? I'll tell you, one of the things I was really disappointed with was when this ship, commander of this ship, this naval, it wasn't a destroyer actually, it was an aircraft carrier, but he sent out a letter, a plea, please help us. And that thing went public. And I thought, man, that's a terrible, terrible thing to have happen. I'm not saying that the ship doesn't need help, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't respond and that the country shouldn't bring resources to bear on that. But sending that signal around the world of saying that we've got aircraft carriers that cannot function, that are being, in effect, virtually shut down because of this virus, man, that to me is a chilling signal to be sending. And do I think China's watching that? You better believe, Jim, that they're watching it. Hey, Jim, thanks for the call. Let's go to Don in Texas. Don, welcome.
Hello. I just wanted to make a comment. You know, I mean, reference to people that want to go to church, and the governor, I think of Virginia, you said, has a problem with it. You know, in one place, Jesus said that lest you be delivered to the judge. And I'm sorry, I don't know the scripture exactly.
That's
and
okay.
The judge continued. You know, there's a time when we do need to agree. You know, I'm an ex-Marine, man. I believe in everyone's right to the Constitution and the assembling together.
Mm-hmm.
And people can still do that, sir. But also,
let's cut to the chase, because we're going to end up with having to take a break and having to cut you off. So let's cut to the chase. Do you think it matters whether a governor actually has the constitutional authority to order citizens to stand in place or to, in effect, be locked in their homes, to be under house arrest? Do you think that it matters that he takes upon himself that authority because it's a crisis? Or do you think that these things still have to be done according to the Constitution, even in difficult circumstances?
Well, I know this. When I was in the Marines, I was just an old grunt. But I know this, that there was an ultimate order that if a pandemic or something happened, the authorities that be had the authority to do such things.
Oh, yeah.
Be it right or wrong, that ain't for me to
okay.
say.
Well, okay. I got you. I got you, Don. I got you. Listen, I think that's the way people surrender their freedom. Because we have a constitutional system, I think, that is sufficiently flexible, that we, if we absolutely, as a consensus, according to the consent of the governed, we believe that we're going to delegate certain authorities on a temporary basis to people, we can do that. There's no reason why these legislatures can't do that. There's no reason why that can't be done with due process of law. But the Constitution, the 14th Amendment, says our liberty may not be deprived of us without due process of law. And due process of law is not a governor standing up and saying, this is what I think needs to be done, and so I'm doing it. So we just have to agree to disagree on that one, Don. I think we've got to always honor the Constitution, lest we set a precedent that we may come to one day regret. Back in a moment.
With my family, even as Surgeon General, I would get frustrated at how much they were on screens.
This is Focus on the Family Minute with the U.S. Surgeon General, Dr. Jerome Adams, offering encouragement.
In some ways, this is an opportunity for us to really get back to that face-to-face interaction, that family contact. I think it's important for people to understand that social distancing doesn't mean social disengagement. You can still make an appointment to give blood. You still should check in on your neighbors. And you can call or you can ring the doorbell and stay 6 feet away. Make sure that older person, that grandma in your community who lives by herself, actually has groceries if she needs it and knows that someone loves and cares about her. Make sure you still get outside and get some vitamin D. You can go for a hike just as long as you stay 6 feet away from each other. And those are all things we're trying to do with our family so that we don't go stir crazy.
Hear more from Dr. Adams today at familyminute.org.
This is Franklin Graham. As news about the coronavirus seems to worsen, many people are feeling overwhelmed, anxious, even fearful. We want to help. At the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, we have a prayer line that's open 24/7. We have staff who would love to speak with you, pray with you. Remember, God loves you.
Call 1-888-388-2683. That's 1-888-388-2683. Or visit billygraham.org.
American Family Radio has changed my life. Listening to you each morning has given me the ability to connect with God and know what He wants for me to do.
We're thankful to hear how God is using American Family Radio. And we'd love to hear your story. Call right now and leave a voicemail on our listener line. Call 877-876-8893. That's 877-876-8893.
Thank you so much.
The AFA, Marriage, Family, and Life Conference is coming June 25th through the 27th. Experts have lined up to help Christians make a difference in our increasingly wicked culture. Dr. Alex McFarland.
There was a day when America was thoroughly predisposed to Christianity.
Dr. Michael Brown.
The pro-life consciousness in America is much more of a political and social and cultural and spiritual battle here in America than in other countries.
Bishop E.W. Jackson.
We get so used to seeing this perversion that it becomes normal.
Will and Miki Addison.
There is a first line defense against sex trafficking, and that would be intact families. That would be fathers being present, showing their daughters healthy affection, defending and protecting them.
The Marriage, Family, and Life Conference at Hope Church in Tupelo, June 25th through the 27th, includes a children's track as well. Learn more and register at marriagefamilylife.net.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Now, folks, just in terms of the numbers, as of this, these numbers are actually from this morning, but as of this morning, the total cases in our population, I'm not talking about deaths, I'm talking about total cases, is 0.0001%. 0.0001%. Now, does that justify having 6 to 10 million people out of work? And I'm not talking about deaths. Deaths, of course, gets to the, I mean, you're probably looking at percentages of 0.0001%. So I'm just saying, folks, proportionally, keep our eyes on the economy, but let's also keep our eyes on the Constitution so that after this thing is over, we don't look up and say, you know what? We gave up a lot of our rights and freedom, and now we've got to fight to prove that we have a right that we shouldn't have had to fight to prove. And I don't mean fight violently. I mean, we've got to, now we got to go back and go through a whole big process of saying, wait a minute. There is an inherent right to freedom of travel, to freedom of movement in our country. I mean, can you imagine, folks, this is what this conjures up. The image this conjures up, because employers are now giving their employees documents to show if they're stopped that they are indeed on their way to work or from work. Now, think about the image of that, that you have authority saying, can I see your papers? Can I see your employer authorization? Nazi Germany, the Soviet Union, apartheid, where people who lived in Bantustans weren't allowed to move around and they had to have permission from their employer to prove that they were lawfully in some other area. Now, I know that the intentions here for most people are not that. I understand that. I know most people are not trying to make this Nazi Germany. They're not trying to make this Soviet Union. They're not trying to put us in an apartheid system. But I'm saying, think of the image in a nation that nobody has ever had to show anybody papers in order to be out and about doing anything. And now suddenly that becomes the norm, and we should just accept that without debate. Not from my perspective. This Constitution is too precious, and our rights and freedoms are too precious and given to us by God for us to surrender them that easily. I think at the very least, we ought to have a debate about exactly how we're proceeding here. how these governors and these mayors particularly are proceeding. You know, they shut, I mean, the president has rightly called them on shutting down gun stores. Well, for what? Well, that's, we don't need gun shows. We have to shut down the gun stores during the coronavirus scare. Really? No, we don't. But of course, here again, Rahm Emanuel, never let a good crisis go to waste. And look, for some people, I hope they're a small number, they may have some very nefarious intentions in mind for our country, which do conjure up the most evil attempts to control people that we've ever seen in human history. I trust there are few and far between of those, but they're out there. Okay, let's go back to your calls. Thank you for your patience, Paul in Arkansas. Welcome.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I've been listening to you for quite a while now, and I agree with most everything you say all the time. But today you said something that I have to disagree with.
Go right ahead.
You said that Adam Schiff and the Trump haters are acting, I don't remember if you said silly or crazy or what, but they're not acting. It's real. there's no act there.
Yeah, yeah. I get you. You're right. I mean, you talk about, well, Paul, was there another point you were going to make?
No, I just want to say this. I don't believe the Actors Guild would give them a card to carry.
Okay, Paul. Appreciate you introducing a little levity there. But look, I can't state this too strongly, folks. If you want to talk about being a traitor to America, you want to talk about being treasonous. And I understand people have a right to disagree with the president of the United States. I don't knock that. I don't dispute that. But to try to distract the president at this critical time with a bunch of nonsense from a man who is a proven liar and frankly, as far as I'm concerned, a hater of the Constitution. He violated all kinds of constitutional principles in the way he went after the president. And here he is in the midst of this crisis trying to distract everybody from the issue at hand and get involved in another investigation of the president of the United States. As far as I'm concerned, there is no law against it, but you know what? There probably ought to be. There really ought to be, because as far as I'm concerned, this man is betraying every single American in what he's doing right now. It's not just about hurting President Trump. He's hurting us all. Let's go to Richard in West Virginia. Richard, welcome.
Esther, thank you for all that you do. We appreciate it. A couple things. I want to touch on. You're touching on them already, but I just want to remind people, China has declared chemical warfare on us, either on purpose or indirectly. Nobody mentions that at all. That's just an afterthought. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. We have that malaria med, and instead of sending trillions of dollars out and refund checks, rebate checks, if we get those meds to the seniors, first responders, police, and so forth, and get them taking them, we're going to have some antibodies built up and just go ahead and open the economy up. Like you say, we're going to, the cure is worse than the crisis. And
amen.
The other thing is, when, again, you're just mentioning on it, when he does these interviews and these Communist News Network people, just they are ragging on him relentlessly. He's if he does and if he didn't, excuse the French. But I would play those interviews Brian Fisher played, where Nancy Pelosi a few weeks ago said, come on to Chinatown. New York mayor said, come on to downtown New York. Come on out. And I'd play that, and I'd shut them up. I'd say, here, if they got blood on their hands, you talk to them. Leave me be.
All right, Richard. Thank you so much for the call. Look, I agree with you. I believe that China, the Chinese communist regime, is our mortal enemy. I don't care what they may say. The Chinese people are their slaves, but the Chinese communist regime is our enemies. Let's go to Bubba in Mississippi. Bubba, welcome.
Mr. Jackson, how are you?
I'm blessed. How are you?
Brother, I'm blessed too. I just want you to know that you are the last source of truth anywhere on any public broadcasting station in the country. I'm a pastor myself. I have not shut my church down. My wife, Beverly, is our youth minister there, and me and her is standing strong. We have Tony Perkins on your station last week telling pastors they were foolish for not shutting their church down, that they were jeopardizing their congregation, the well-being of their congregation. I listened to Alex McFarland this morning saying the same thing about how reckless we were if we did not heed the government's warning and shut our churches down. Brother, I want to thank you for your service in the Marine Corps. I have two sons. Both of them served in the Army. Both of them came back from the Middle East with Middle East sand on their boots. They both served in combat in the Middle East, put their life on the line for my constitutional rights. My Lord died for me on that cross for my salvation. And, brother, amen, there ain't nothing on God's green earth that's going to stop me from standing for our Constitution and for our God. Our All God right. says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves. I keep having these people want to quote Romans 13 to me, how we're supposed to bow down to our earthly authorities. The Bible's clear about it. Until they break God's commands,
you obey. All right, all right, Bubba. Listen, I got it. I'm down to the wire. Let me get a couple other calls in here. But, Bubba, first of all, look, I think every host on this network is committed to the Lord Jesus Christ and is trying to do their very best to tell the truth. That doesn't mean we'll all always agree on how we approach things like this. And look, there is a sense in which, let me clarify something here. You know, I can accept my government advising. I can accept my government giving guidelines, which is what the president has done. What I can't accept is my government taking it upon itself to assume that it has the right to give me, a free citizen, orders. That's what I have a problem with, without there being a full debate on the issue and what the constitutional limitations of its power are. And so that's where, for me, the rubber meets the road. I don't have any problem with a pastor saying, well, you know what, I'm going to cooperate with the governor's recommendations, or I'm going to cooperate with the president's recommendation, because I've tried to do that for the most part. I do have a problem with being ordered to close my church. I do have a problem with being told I cannot go to church. I do have a problem with being ordered to stay home. That I don't think there's the constitutional authority to do that. So that's just me. But thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Oh, my goodness. We are down to the wire. You're going to have to be really quick, but because you've been so patient, I think that's Atta in Pennsylvania. I think you want to disagree with what I've just said, so take a moment to go at it. Atta? Yes, go ahead.
Yes. Am I on?
Yes, you're on.
Okay. Bishop Jackson, I really appreciate you. You think so much. I love the Lord, and I think the church should be open. However, may I submit this to your consideration?
You're running out of time fast, so you really got to get to your point.
Country is verge of collapse. China is watching. Don't be surprised if we get another 911 on us. They're watching. There are our enemies.
Thank you, Otta. Thank you. I got to go. But look, I made that point before. I don't know whether China intentionally did this. I don't know whether they intentionally unleashed this virus. I do know that five of the last six or seven pandemics have come from China, which, I mean, that's nothing to sort of ignore. But what we do know is that they're watching how we're responding to this. I think the president is keenly aware of that. I'm not sure some of these other local leaders are necessarily aware of that. So folks, but look, we're going to keep upholding faith in Jesus Christ and the peace of God, upholding our Constitution and the rule of law. And remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.